This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let me firstly apologize to my next guest. It's Gareth van Onselen from the Institute of Race Relations, as well as Lukhona Mguni, who will be discussing the future of the DA and the future of the party leader, Musi Mamani. Thank you guys so much for joining us this morning. And let me apologize yet again. Gareth, thank you for being part of this discussion.
No problem.
Sure. Gareth, quickly starting with you, how would you sum up the DA's performance in these elections?
Well, it was a bad performance by every potential measure. Not only did they lose some of their core base support to the Freedom Front Plus, they failed to grow in any significant way amongst black voters, and particularly in large urban growth centers like Gauteng. And both those things drove the DA's percentage down by, half, 1.5% or so. And the consequences of that are going to be profound, because the DA is a bit like a shark. It needs to keep moving forward. And if it stays still or moves backwards, it has profound implications for the grander DA project.
Okay, Lukhona joining us as well. Good morning. How would you sum up the DA's performance in these elections?
Good morning, Aldrin, and good morning to your listeners. I think the DA managed to undo the momentum it had been carrying from every general election to the next. But in particular, as Gareth points out, the growth urban centers like Gauteng, I mean, you'd have expected with them being incumbent in two metros that they would take that forward and build up on that momentum. In actual fact, one can possibly say the ANC is partly with that narrow margin of victory in Gauteng because of the DA's inability to actually capitalize on the momentum that it had, number one. Number two, to be unable to be intact in terms of two fronts. One, its internal issues. I think the premiership issue and premier candidate issue and how it was dealt with did harm the DA from an internal perspective. And I think, secondly, how it handled some of the things that it was dealing with in the last year from an internal point of view did sort of chase some people away from the party. So I would say, not only is it just a dismal performance, but it points to a lot of own goals that were scored by the DA.
Do you think, Lukhona, that one of the reasons as well, as you're speaking about the internal battles that the party is facing, is that there's been a higher level of scrutiny of the DA?
No, of course, there has been, and there's always been higher level of scrutiny, by the way, of the DA, and even in those moments, it continued to grow. The previous leaders, from Tony Leon to Helen Zille, have not been without any share of scrutiny, to tell the truth. I mean, even at a time after Helen Zille had made the comment about education refugees in the Western Cape, the DA still managed to grow. I think here you are dealing with a machinery that, over time, from an internal perspective, a number of people who used to run that machinery, of course, have now departed from the DA at an administrative level. And I think the machinery of the DA has somewhat weakened over the last few years, and it is beginning to show. Also, the type of electioneering that they adopted, maybe things such as Stop the ANC and the EFF, might have worked during Tony Leon's time, but not when you have an expectation from the public of a much more progressive DA that centers its own message rather than focusing on the message of others. So there are quite a number of issues that are there, and I think the party will have to spend some time being honest with itself, in actual fact.
Gareth, do you agree with that sentiment that part of the problem that the DA faced was the issue around its messaging? Also considering that you had posters that were stop the EFF instead of the party being able to play to its strengths, and this is what the DA stands for. And in fact, I can argue that the DA, unlike any other political party, has been a party that's been able to forcefully show that it is... it is not confined by race.
Issue to do with messaging speaks to a broader problem, which is the party's long-term strategy. And that is the consequence of a number of different problems. One is that the party is not sure ideologically exactly what it stands for, and so it can't take positions with the kind of conviction and bravery that's needed to convince people. It's sort of fence-sits and is ambiguous, and people don't know exactly where it stands on some core liberal issues which are central to its brand. And that's a problem that's been running through the party for a good 3 or 4 years now. Just with regards to the EFF, keep the EFF and ANC out, that actually, I disagree with the last analysis. That message was actually profoundly successful. It was only really run in any meaningful way in the Western Cape, and I think it was responsible for saving the DA's majority in that province. It's one of the reasons why the Freedom Front did much worse in the Western Cape. This kind of message was very good at consolidating its base. Its problem outside of the Western Cape is that it was very difficult to discern what its message was. There was a bit of keep the ANC-EFF out. There was a bit of one future, one nation, or whatever their other slogan is. There was a bit of keep the lights on, a job in every home. It was very difficult to distinguish a particular message outside of the Western Cape. And that was the primary problem in all those other provinces.
Do you then think that the problem then is that the DA trying to be everything to everyone is one of the biggest problems that the party faces? Because if you ask anyone right now and say to them, what's the Freedom Front, the Freedom Front Plus's stance on land, they'll give you a clear answer. If you ask anyone the same question about the EFF stance on land, you'll get the same answer. And quite interesting for me is that these two political parties have actually gained in terms of popularity and in terms of support. Yet parties that are seen to be centralist or pushing more centralism, the DA and the ANC, and much closer to each other, those are the parties that actually seem to have shed some jobs. And some people are saying it is because of the issue around the messaging and people being unclear what those parties stand for when it comes to certain issues.
Yes, no, I agree with that totally. And just to mirror my previous answer, it boils down to a lack of strategic coherence and a clear internal idea of what the DA stands for, and the ability on key issues that define public sentiment to be able to take a clear stance with conviction and with bravery and to try win people over to that. This thing of sitting on the fence or trying to hedge your bets or blurring your position on key issues is very damaging to your ability to be able to win voters over. Exactly as you say, voters want a clear brand, they want a clear message, and they want to be able to understand what they're voting for on the day. And I think a lot of people were uncertain about what the DA stood for and what it will stand for going forward into the future, and so went for those clearer, more precise options.
And look, Lukona, and here's the thing about that. If you go on Twitter and look at Phumzile van Dam's tweets, she's basically attacking party members, I think probably those in leadership positions, who she argues have been tweeting DA on policies that are not exactly DA policies and may have been part of this confusion that some people who were DA supporters were facing when it comes to the messaging of the party.
Well, that is a problem that they will have to deal with. If there is incoherence in how the leadership comes across in public, it simply means that some people aren't willing to be part and parcel of certain policy directions within the party. But this is not unique to the Democratic Alliance alone. We've seen it also with the African National Congress, where some leaders seem hell-bent to emphasize particular narratives from policy outcomes from their conference, and others seem to downplay this. So there'll always be some level of discord. It's the extent to which that discord then plays itself out in the public, and whether or not it then, in the people's imagination, distort what the political party is all about. But also, Aldrin, we must also remember that some people had strategically been taking a chance with the DA in terms of giving them their support, particularly in the many black constituencies where the DA has not been well entrenched and embedded. So people would have given it an opportunity to say, take this vote, but over time, we expect to see ourselves reflected much more in your policy. If you remember the debates around diversity and what it meant, there were some papers flowing around with some top leaders seriously disagreeing earlier last year what that means. The public was watching those things and listening very carefully. And then you get the inability, I'll keep saying this, the inability to articulate what the DA stands for. If I take you back to the manifesto launch of the DA earlier this year in February, the leader of the DA spent about 60 to 70% of the entry into that speech diagnosing what the problems are, where the ANC has gone wrong, before he actually got to the crux of the matter of presenting the DA manifesto. Now, people have become a bit more knowledgeable of what the faults of the ANC are and what it is getting wrong. They say, we're not interested in that. We do know that. Tell us what is it that you are offering and how are you going to make it different. I think what is also lacking from the leader himself, which then tears up the party and opens up opportunity for people not to be consolidated in their public messaging as leaders of the DA policies, that the leader himself has not really pinned down what his core vision is going to be for the party and what it is. And it was, for me anyway, obvious in the first round of his election around 2015 that he was much more trying to be palatable to as many people as possible. When you want to drive a party like the DA to a new positioning and a new posture, as he says he wants to, you've got to be very firm. You've got to have non-negotiables. If you can't get the party leadership buying into those, probably your project is actually quite unsuccessful.
How much do you then think, Lukona, part of the DA's decline has to do with the color of the leader's skin?
I don't even think it's the color, Aldrin. I think it's the character and form of the leader. I've never really seen him as a strong and relevant leader for the transition period that the DA needs to go through, which is for me quite an intellectual transition where they settle these ideological tensions, they settle these nuances around diversity and transformation politics, they settle discussions around the race question and how the DA relates to that, and questions of, as per the Constitution of South Africa, questions of redress and how would the DA best do that and present itself to the broader public. You saw how there were tensions about an economic policy document that was circulating, which had been a product of the policy unit before Gwen Wenya resigned. And of course, there was sort of like a lot of discord around that as well and how the party handled it. So the point I'm making is that if putting his race aside, he hasn't managed to come to the table on the intellectual question of driving the DA to meander all of these tensions it is dealing with and come out with a coherent and very well put message for the public to engage with.
Gareth, you described the party as a shark. It needs to continue moving forward. If it doesn't move forward, there are dire consequences. What would some of those consequences be?
Well, and sorry, this is just going to be my last input because I do have to go off of this. But the most profound consequence is the effect it has on political momentum. Any political party needs to generate in the public mind an idea that it is growing and that it is a powerful force. If those two, and obviously that's generated by increasing in elections, and the DA had a lot of that force behind it in 2016 after its success of the local government elections. Mm-hmm. This particular result is going to do big damage to that. The brutal truth is that one of the things voters like more than anything else is this idea of winning and of being part of a winning team and of a force that is growing.
I guess
and
it
is
plays
impactful.
Out in sports as well.
Yes, exactly right. And to counter that perception, once you've gone backwards, is incredibly difficult to do because the trend is downwards. And the DA's got 2 years until a local government election now. If it goes backwards then, the consequences for the DA will really be deeply damaging to the extent that it might not recover. So these next 2 years are absolutely critically important for the party. It needs to get some kind of clarity, get some kind of conviction and purpose, work out what it stands for, tell voters in a compelling fashion what it stands for, and it needs to be brave. It needs to believe that it can't be all things to all people. It stands for something. Those who are not on board won't vote for the party, and those who are on board or who are willing to listen or are potential voters, it must relentlessly pursue.
Thank you so much, Gareth van Onselen from the Institute of Race Relations. Lukona, quickly, do you think that Musi may survive this next 2 years?
Very difficult to tell in politics, but it would almost be an unprecedented move for the DA to recall a leader before a conference does. I think there may be some issues of saving grace, like the Western Cape, that some people were thinking it might go to a coalition because of the vulnerabilities created by Good. I don't know, Aldrin. They didn't jump the 4 million magic mark of the DA in terms of votes cast. And they might say he has compromised them. But I think holistically the party needs to look at itself, particularly whether or not that internal brains trust Lindiwe Mazibuko once spoke about, that is highly white and male-dominated. What is the direction that they are lobbying for now in terms of the party's messaging? Or do some people not mind a DA that shrinks but continues to keep its ideological posture pure? So going forward, I think the party has a lot to contend with. What is also important, though, Aldrin, is that in the city of Johannesburg and the city of Tshwane, the ANC still was kept at below 50%. So that momentum in those cities might still bode well for the DA going into 2021 in the ability to retain the metros at a coalition level, if not at a growth level for the party. So the number of dynamics that I think the DA has to contend with, but Musi Maimane is a very vulnerable leader at this stage, but I think some people around him will come through, just also to save the image of the DA, because removing him might actually cause more harm and tumble for the DA, because he may be seen as being purged and to be replaced by who we do not know. So it's very important for them to also keep this idea that black leaders in the DA are not just being unnecessarily purged. So I think ultimately he'll survive until the next conference.
Well, thank you so much, Lukona Mguni, political analyst.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.